Hello, this is David Elias, and I'm going to read from Sunday afternoon. This is a story of suffering and joy and how one can sometimes lead into the other. In this case, a character named Dickie Dirksen and what happens when he is struck by a bolt of lightning. The small black cloud that held so much electrical energy inside it was about to pass over Dickie's head. A ghastly concussion of light and noise would burst out of it, but just at the moment everything was very quiet. It was the time, the smallest bit of time, that always occurs just before a lightning strike. The instant when the cloud and the ground shake hands. Dickie heard it as a small, barely audible tick. In another split second, the entire charge of the lightning bolt would enter his skull dead center. This particular lightning bolt had only one objective, the same as all other lightning bolts before and after it, which was that it wished to travel as exactly and efficiently as possible to the ground. That was what a lightning bolt did. That was the essence of its being. And because Dickie was wearing no shoes or socks, his stubby little toes curling into the moist green grass, he would make an excellent conductor for the massive electrical current that was about to enter his body. The tremendous lightning bolt would rip through his portly frame with deadly intensity. Agnes Dirksen, Dickie's mother, was at the kitchen window of her dilapidated farmhouse, such as it was, doing a load of dishes, and although she was aware of Dickie's presence out in the pasture, did not really take much notice of him. She knew Dickie must be nursing a goodly number of new bruises, since her drunken husband had given him another vicious beating only a few hours before. He was gone now, getting drunk across the line, as he did on so many Sunday afternoons. Because she wasn't really paying much attention, she was momentarily blinded, not to mention deafened, by the concussion of the powerful thunderbolt, and failed to see the bolt of lightning actually strike Dickie. She saw only a bright flash, and when she could make him out again, he appeared to be executing a kind of jig out in the meadow. It was completely out of character. But there he was, one leg bent at the knee, foot placed correctly against the calf of the other, ballet style. One arm flung out wide, the hand utterly expressive, the other poised artistically above his head, while he performed a perfect pirouette. If that wasn't strange enough, Dickie opened his mouth wide, wider than she'd ever seen it, impossibly wide, and out came the most glorious, the most exquisite note of song Agnes Dirksen, or anyone else for that matter, had ever heard. No one had ever heard more than a few thin squeaks and grunts come out of Dickie's mouth, and now here he was doing what no one had ever thought possible, making just a noise, but a stunningly beautiful one at that, singing magnificently out across the valley. It was completely beyond her comprehension. She thought she must be dreaming, and then she noticed something else, a lazy curl of white smoke rising from the top of Dickie's head. In fact, a scientist familiar with the effects of a direct lightning strike on the human body would have explained all of this to her easily enough. They were doing a lot of that lately, the scientists on radio and television shows, in books and magazines, explaining all kinds of things. It was becoming quite fashionable for them to go around insisting that things people had always found remarkable or novel were really nothing of the kind, that examined within the context of proper scientific method and theory, they were perfectly ordinary, to be expected, necessarily so. Magazines like Popular Mechanics and Scientific American had become prevalent. People had a voracious appetite for their cutaway diagrams and illustrations of good old American ingenuity. They just couldn't seem to get enough of the nuts and bolts of things explained to them. Something about it made everyone feel better, even the scientist. The bombs had done that to people, scared them into believing that it was really just fear of the unknown that was making everyone so nervous. And even if the explaining was done in language devoid of human emotion, couched in a hopeless and blasé teleology that took the wonderment out of everything, at least it was better than being scared all the time.